All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Whittington? A million-dollar baby. You all understand why I said that thing about Messner. We have to start in 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Anybody know what redound means? It means extend more and more. It's like boom, 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 boom. Shut up, Harry. I don't feel good, and I had to give myself 2 shots, and that's the only reason I'm here. Probably. Me and Janet Reno. Did everybody see Janet Reno fainted while she was campaigning yesterday? They had it on my camera. She just fell over. Really sad. No. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, do you do that? You look at the things that are not seen? Somebody once said that a believer must be a see-througher, that we see through everything, never a see-atter. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. When you look at Paul's letters, and it's all throughout the New Testament, but you can never find a place in which there isn't this strange combination of it's suffering and glory, it's groaning and joy, it's suffering and yet not suffering. It's always, it's always that our natural man is never, it's always our natural man is always in a position of need and weakness. Now, this is the thing that all of us hate worse than anything else, because we do not, there's no human being that has ever lived that wants to be in a position of weakness and need. We do everything in our power to get out of being in a position of weakness and need, and therefore we do everything in our power to be the antithesis of what Christ wants. And it never stops. I was up again most of the night. All of the programs, like T.D. Jakes, I watched T.D. Jakes, and I watched Jerry Seville, and I watched Kenneth Copeland. All of them are trying to get the audience to gain strength, to gain power, to gain everything that the world wants. And it's sad, because the Pauline letters don't show that. There's never a place where Paul, who is the greatest evangelist that ever was trying to tell you how to be strong, successful. It's always this mystery of suffering, yet glory, of groaning, yet joy. And it's so sad because they miss the mystery. They're seeing at instead of seeing through. And the reason they're there, again, is so we can see ourselves without the cross. Isn't that what you're... Don't you understand that the only thing that knits us together is our need and our weakness? And yet every one of us is trying to be independently successful, to have success and salvation of the isolated self. And that is the mortal enemy of the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs our weakness, our suffering, our need. And yet we refuse to give it. Silence is much better than confessing need and weakness. The illusion of I'm pretty good. How are you? Oh, I'm doing great. You're lying through your teeth. I've got to have this facade in front of me. I've got to have this stone face at least so no one sees my need and weakness. It's the Lewis syndrome that pervades the world. And it's sick. And it's got to stop in this body. If I've learned anything in this year of suffering, that's the mystery. That's where the mystery is manifested. And we're about to have first fruit meetings. And it's imperative. And I'm not going to do them this year. I'm going to do John and Joysana and Gary and Judy, and God help them, because that must set the model for the rest of the body, and the rest of the body must come to this understanding of need and weakness, that it's confessed and it's given. Oh, I'm just dealing with this. Well, then you're a robber and a thief. Everybody understand me?
Now, it's that place where Paul asked in Ephesians, I would that you, in his prayer about that we see the height and the depth and the whole mystery of God.
His glory.
But yeah, and to see that, you have to be in that place of weakness and suffering and tribulation. So he's actually praying for them to experience that.
Anybody have any response, Gary?
Yeah, I think of how the thing works. These preachers are probably using scriptures that would tell people to be strong in the Lord. Absolutely two ways to hear that.
One with the cross and one without the cross.
Right. And most people don't want to hear it through the cross, so they want to be strong in the Lord, so they put Christ on their own flesh and go about and do pleasure things in the name of God and feel justified, right, and secure. Like that's how God hides the gospel.
And the mystery is that all those shepherds that are teaching the flock and all of us individuals that are trying to be strong and put on the face, we are trying to make ourselves acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. And that is the God of this world. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We forget that the word mortal means dead. And so mortality, in a sense, is walking death. zombies of the universe, the walking dead. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst, that's a stupid word, whilst. Huh?
What's your opinion?
I'm teaching. Shut up. Whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. How well do I know that? For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Don't you understand that? Everybody here, you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and every idle thought, and every act, and every look is going to be judged. Every act of bitterness, every act of unforgiveness. Don't you understand? Can't you feel that? If you can, then you can understand the next verse. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If there is any place in you that is self-justifying about anything, is anything where you justify yourself, then the judgment seat of Christ is going to be your terror and your downfall. Remember Jesus said, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. Think of that. Is there anything you want that anybody else out there wants? Anything you want that anybody out there esteems? Well, then you're an abomination unto God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If there is any, that's why, if there is any unforgiveness, if there's any unfulfilled ideas and plans which have then become your idol, if there's any place where you have this self-justification, then it's to tell to God that you have not accepted the cross, and Christ really isn't your life. Why we will be judged severely for every idle thought. Not just today, but it's your whole life, from birth to death. And there you are. Think of all of your activity. Think of all of the things that you've done. Think of all your thoughts that didn't measure up and don't measure up. When you become a believer at some age here, it didn't erase all this stuff, and it didn't erase or blank out the stuff in the future. What the cross does is causes God to look at you only in that one spot. But he tests you to find out whether or not Christ is your life. Are you taking thought for yourself? Are you taking thought for tomorrow? Are you taking thought for what you wear? Is there anyone you haven't forgiven from the heart? Is there any part of you who's judging another? If you are, then that's God's tell, that you have to be judged from birth to death. Am I communicating? Therefore, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. Persuade men what? To pick up the cross. To abandon all of this crap about the body and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. We are not citizens of this world. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you want something at the judgment seat, boom, there's your life. Something you think left is left to do at the judgment seat, there's your entire life. Because you have crucified the Son of God afresh. What you have done is you have, instead of speaking to the rock, you've hit the rock like Moses did. This is very, very serious business we're about. It's the greatest blessing in the universe. But by definition, if you neglect it in any single area of your life, then there's you. Any response?
Yeah, that word neglect doesn't mean take action to correct those. You can't in any area.
Amen. Cross go deeper still. That's why drugs and alcohol exist. That's why those addictions exist. Not because of that. It's so that everyone else can see that we're how much we're addicted to ourselves. What a stupid addiction. God, it's the Antichrist. He set himself up in the temple showing himself that he's God. If you don't know that you're the Antichrist by now, you never will. You're just wasting my time and yours and God's. Am I making it clear? Is there any shadows of turning, any doubt, any unbelief? Let's talk about it. For he must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. What does manifest mean? Openly laid bare. Huh? Are you openly laid bare? Oh, but you love your secret little lies. Don't you love your little imaginations? Don't you love those little trips you go on in your mind? Some of you, it's sex. For others, you can save the world. Just do the right thing. We must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what the body is about. It is full contact Christianity. Full contact in every single arena of your life. If that's not what you want, you shouldn't be here. You think there's another way? Go to Doug's church. Nice little church. Sweet, nice fellowship. And they have some son of a bitch getting in their face, asking them if they have any doubt about something. And I trust also made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves unto you, but give you occasion of glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. for whether we be beside ourselves, which means we're crazy, it is to God. And whether we be sober, it's for your cause. Therefore, by definition, if you are not living for someone else, you are spiritually crazy. Or worse. Let me read that again. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The human race died at the cross. Has that been made clear? And the Antichrist has raised him, caused you to raise yourself from the deadly head wound to have the appearance of life. And you've created a monster, a golem, your entire life. Don't you see? You've added and changed and moved and made the clay, all these different things. Oh, I'm somebody now. You understand that all men died on the cross? Is that made clear to you? And what is this? What are these people running around? Well, they're the Antichrist. Many Antichrists. That's why our only hope is the cross of Christ. The only thing that can possibly we can glory in is the cross. The only thing, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't care what you look like or how you dress or how you act. I'm not trying to mold you into some shape that looks like me. That would be disgusting. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them which rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. Is that communicating to you? You know no man or woman or child or being after the flesh? Why? Because what do you want to know? What do you want to know about? Bunch of people, about a bunch of zombies. You want to know about graveyards, walking dead. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, not made better. He's a new thing. He's not that thing which he was made better. He is a totally and completely new order, new genus, new type, new everything. But your mind keeps pulling you back to the old. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a good place to stop. We'll continue that. You understand? You understand the fruitlessness and emptiness and stupidity of dwelling on yourself? Oh, I'm this, I'm that. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. Obviously, if you look around, it obviously means something other than what we think perfected means. Amen? Everybody understand perfectly?
The
only place. Didn't hit anybody.
It's
judgment, will we stand individually or will we stand as a body?
As a body, you'll be free, but if you, every body is the bride, it's there. Individually, if you're being judged individually, you know you're in deep shit. That's why we must experience the judgment day beforehand. That's what the book of Zephaniah is all about. What are you laughing at?
I was stretching my face, but I did observe something while you were talking. I think it was a mention of first fruits or something like that, but I realized that in the previous time, I don't know if it was a year ago or 5 years ago, that generally speaking, I was sort of comfortable all day long, and then really uncomfortable in Bible study, and in fact, sort of frightened in Bible study, because I think it was because I had a lot of stuff to hide or something. I don't know what it was. But. And I realized that I'm the most centered and the most comfortable now in Bible study, and not necessarily this Bible study. Gary, Judy, teacher, you know, just when we come together like that, I'm the most comfortable and centered and. Stuff is not trying to bite me, but it's now out there where the craziness is, rather than in Bible study where the craziness is.
Stuff's trying to bite you?
Sure, I have little demons trying to come through the window and bite me in the head. We're going to go broke! Can't pay the printer!
The demons.
Oh, then I walk through the office and I see piles of shit all over the floor in the middle of the office.
Demons, trash, peep.
It's garbage all over the office. I tripped over it last night.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I have something about. Gary said about repenting and being willing to talk about being dead. Like that is repentance, to see that you're dead. So the other day I spent almost all day trip. My truck broke down. I carried a little green over. I was really getting upset about it. And the whole time I was trying to repent, trying to muster up something that would cause me to repent. The more I tried that, the more I was sank, and the darker it got, could not see. You know? And it dawned on me that, you know, he repents for us. You know? We're dead. And the calm came, you know, just to be there.
Amen.
So when I saw that, I could see it again.
Amen. That's why we.
Warfare is over.
That's right. That's why when we the word confess, it's the word which means to speak the same thing. 90% of the time the word confess is used in the Bible, it isn't going around and saying, oh, you're the bad boy. It means that you speak and think the same thing. Homologio. And it means that you see from the top down rather than the bottom up. And from the top down, it's apparent that we are all dead, that our little running around is just a trick of the Antichrist, that we, who cares, I mean, the things like going broke or not going broke, those aren't even in the equation anymore, because it's a different realm, it's a different order.
It's easy for me to remind somebody else of that. It really is, I mean, because I know it, and it's easy for me to talk to Glenn and say, you know, what are you worried about? And to make fun of that and to distort it, I think it's a little different when I'm the one that's deluded. I need somebody else to remind me. I can't do it alone. Well, I mean, eventually it seems to end, but I need somebody to remind me.
You never get any better. The only thing that happens is we learn to repent or see that we're dead faster.
I think of all my talk and what we can do.
Oh, yeah.
allows us to hear what's going on, that we can be healed, which is then repentance at that point.
Well, that's why it's so vital that we are manifest to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That we're laid bare to each other. That's why it's so, you know, that's so opposite of me. I mean, it's so opposite of the way of the beast, because the beast wants to hide because he rightly wants to hide. He's got a bunch of shit to hide.
I haven't yet brought something out into the light in terms of confessing it, or seen anybody else in the years I've been here bring something to the light that caused separation. It causes closeness.
Amen. That's the reason that people talked about how the, I guess it was Mike that talked about how the closeness of the people that have been here for, you know, longest. Well, it's because we know everything there is to know about each other.
Keeping it secret is not separate.
And it's hard to do if you're really deep in the ship. And you're alive at that time of the experience. The last thing you want to do, the last thing I want to do is go to Gary.
Those
four of my dumbass stuff
to him. What was really dumbass is he suffered all day. At the end of the day, he called to tell us what a terrible day he had.
Don't do it.
He suffered
for the
end.
Harry used to be there for like 3 weeks. He'd say, I've been dealing with that for the last 3 weeks. I said, why in the hell didn't you tell somebody? Oh, I forgot.
I didn't think it was you.
Stupid to deal with something. You understand that? I mean, we're done dealing with stuff. Everything, the check's been paid. Everything's been dealt with. It may not be what you like or don't like, but I promise you it's what's best for you, whatever it is. I got to go back to bed. I'm not doing good here. I'm about to fall out of the chair. Me and Jenna Reno here.
Never seen you two at the same place.
I know. Have you ever noticed the similarity in how we look?
Both tall for a horse face.
Right. What?
Don't try to pick up. I got sweatpants and leather shoes.
Don't worry about what you wear. I'm a little gender confused.
I didn't want to get to put my other shoes on. Shut up. Mr. Style over there. Would you hit him for me?
After lunch, Harvey, do you want me to see if you're alive or just not?
Yeah.